I'd like to call this council and committee meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
All members of council are present, Your Worship, with the exception of Councilor Zanko.
Thank you. There's an addendum. One of the closed session items is being removed from the agenda this evening. Just a couple of brief announcements. First of all, just recently, last week, our communications tower at the Gibson Center just completely fall over, broke in half, and the town contacted Tyrone Ramkasoon of Last Mile and Bob Dancy from Rodan Communications to come out and take a look and do what they could to assist the town, and they responded very quickly. They were on site within 20 minutes. They worked late into the evening in very, extremely cold conditions in order to get the service back up, and I'm advised that full communications were restored within 3 hours. So on behalf of the council and the town staff, we want to thank both Tyrone Ramkasoon and Bob Dancy for their stellar service to the community. Second of all, last week, Big Brothers Big Sisters did their kickoff for their 2018 Bowl for Kids' Sake, and the event in Fort Erie will be held at the beginning of March. Councilor Becerro, you have some involvement with respect to that, and so I put the other mayors on notice. I hope I didn't stretch this too far, that we're going to try to repeat our success with respect to the annual trophy. So I'm counting on all of you to help out. And as I said, I think there are two dates, March the 3rd and the 10th, for Fort Erie. So there'll be more news. I'm sure that you'll be providing us with some further information as we get closer to that date. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I have a conflict with PDS-08-2018, as my business does business with that company.
And that is?
It was number 8, Planning and Development Services.
That's the development in Ridgeway?
Yes, the Oaks.
Right. Any other disclosures? There being none, that takes us to notice of upcoming public meetings. The fourth budget meeting, and this is the one that will deal with the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis, takes place next Wednesday, January the 24th, 2018 at 6 p.m. here in the council chamber. If necessary, there will be a further budget meeting on January the 31st, same time, same location. Council is projecting adopting the budget bylaws on January 28th, 2018 for water and wastewater budget and rates, and the general levy bylaw on February the 26th, 2018. We have one public meeting this evening, and Keegan Jennings, the chief building official, will address council with respect to proposed increases in building permit fees. Good evening.
So this is a public meeting as required under the Ontario Building Code Act, when the municipality is considering any changes to the building permit fees. The proposed fee increase would help bring the building department to a revenue neutral to cover the anticipated cost of operating the deposit, or the department, I'm sorry. There was an advertisement in the local newspaper on December 14th that was in accordance with the Ontario Building Code Act. So that advertisement in the paper does meet the legal requirements under the Act for notification. On top of that, we've also posted it on the town's website, put it on the Facebook feed, and notice went out to our local builders and to the Home Builders Association. But one comment was received on the town's Facebook feed. Did not have a lot to do with the building permit fees, had to do with more with the enforcement and against the builders and the builders ignoring the rules and regulations of the town and enforcement on that. Why the fees are being increased. Building permit fees were originally formally studied in 2006 by BMA Management Consulting, where they recommended fee increases annually to do with the Consumer Price Index. From 2006 to 2011, those fees were not increased. Council did not want to do any fee increases. So during that time, that resulted in a 13.6% increase that was forgone. In 2015, council did approve some various fee increases, with the largest increase being 10% on specific fees categories. And ever since then, we've had annual fee increases that council has approved. This is the proposed fee increase today is another CPI index increase, which is 1.7%. Next slide shows just a snippet of some of the fees that we do collect. Those are the most predominant ones. You can see that the fee increase on something like an assembly occupancy is going up 2 cents a square foot. On our residentials, 2 cents a square foot. On our lesser fees, the garages, porches, and decks, there's actually zero increase. The rounding did not justify it going up. On our flat fees, you can see a slight increase there. On our public pools of $6, which is one of our more expensive permits, and in-ground pools, it makes a difference of $3. These fees are still below the regional averages. So that's what we proposed on this one, was that CPI index, again, of 1.7%. This is to ensure that the revenues collected through the building permit process continue to strive through that towards that cross-neutral goal. They will be reviewed annually to see if there were any additional fee increases are warranted in the future. And next steps in the process is the fee bylaw will be presented to council next week. That concludes my presentation.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. Just a little curious about the fact that we didn't receive any type of background report or information. So this is a public meeting, and presumably members of the public are entitled to address council with respect to this. But what information would they have had to determine whether or not they support or don't support the increase?
This was done back with the fee increase reports that finance did. It was in with that. Was their proposed fee increase, and there was a paragraph in there under the building department section that dealt with that.
Right. Okay. Councilor McDermott.
Yes, thank you, Worship. Stimulating presentation. Just one question, though. How close are we with our fees to becoming revenue neutral?
I don't know yet on this year's. I don't have the final numbers from finance to see how it works out. I know we do have a slight... we're over our costs right now. I don't think all the final fees have broken down yet. We do have one account that still has to be balanced out. So I don't know. I can't give you a final answer on that. Yep, I can bring something forward in the future. Yep, for sure.
Any other councillors have any questions? Thank you. So at this stage of the game, I'm going to ask you to have a seat, and then we'll ask if there are any members of the public who wish to address council with respect to this matter. Please come forward, Mr. Poole. As you will recall, we require your
Happy
name
New Year,
address
everybody.
For the record.
Yeah, James Poole, 3811 Webstock Road. I know he just said our fees in this town are equivalent to everybody else. My understanding that we're a lot more than Port Colborne for building permits. I don't know if that's true or not. I know some, like, I personally think there should be no increase. We should be trying to promote people to build in this town. Not so much builders, but people who have property and they want to build a house beside them or do sever this and that. It's getting expensive to build a house in this town. You're talking $35,000, $40,000 for a building permit now. And that's what I've been looking at. I looked at a few different things, and I think it's getting out of hand.
I think what you'll find is that the larger cost that you've referred to is the development charges, and those are significant dollars compared to the building permit fees. However, your comments are noted, and the information that we just received indicated what the regional average was, so didn't break out community by community, but we can ask Mr. Jennings that if he has that information.
Well, my feeling is that I live in this town. This town is not really accessible like, say, Niagara Falls, St. Catharines, QEW. Well, you live in Crystal Beach or someplace like that, you know, and 40 right by the QEW is good, but I agree with you. We should be people building homes. I should be promoting people to come to this town. And our impost fees, I guess, is different than this. I don't realize it's different, but it's way too high. Our impost fees in this town to build a house, as I know, I built back in 1989. And today it's like, I just don't think we need increase unless we have to pay the bills with this. And if it's going to keep people, you know, coming to this town to build homes by not having increase, that's what we should be thinking about, not raising it. That's my comment.
Okay, before you go, any members of council have any questions of Mr. Poole? Thank you very much, sir.
All right, thanks.
Is there anyone else who wishes to address council with respect to this matter? If not, then I'm going to declare this. Well, before I do that, Mr. Jennings, do you have any information about the building fee building permit fees for Fortery vis-a-vis Port Colborne?
Yeah, I do have a study that was done. We've taken the local municipality fees and put them into an Excel spreadsheet, which I'll be happy to forward to council, but our fees are slightly higher than Port Colborne's.
Thank you. I'm going to then declare this public meeting closed, and that takes us then to the consent agenda. Are there any items that anyone wishes removed from the consent agenda? Now, could I have a motion to move the consent agenda? Councillor Passero, are there any questions with respect to any of the reports contained in the consent agenda? Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Your Worship. I had a question with respect to PDS-02-2018, where they're buying several pieces of property that basically accumulates to 1 acre. But I'm just wondering from the picture, if you could tell me if there's an existing septic bed, because I understand that the purchase is specifically to be able to expand and to put in a proper septic bed.
Mr. Brady, can you respond to that?
Certainly. If I can direct Council's attention to Appendix 1, which is an air photo with mapping on it, and you'll see where 607 exists, and 607 is where the existing house is, and within 607 there is a septic bed. So the septic bed is located within the existing lot. The additional acreage which is being added to 607 will expand that lot so that if at some point in time in the future that bed failed, that there would be additional lands adjacent to it for a second bed to be created. That's the that's the way that the region is doing it these days, if you will, to ensure that if an existing bed fails, that there's enough property for a new bed. By what we're doing is we're creating 607 to have enough property for a new bed, and then the parcel 4 and the parcels that will be added to it, that will create a parcel which can have a new house, as long as collectively it will be able to meet the region's requirements. So we're doing two things here. One is the safety of improving 607, and two is trying to help with the developability of those lower fragments.
Councilor Butler?
So does that mean then eventually they might have the capability of severing those lots so that somebody else could build a home with a smaller septic bed?
Mr. Brady?
To you, through the councillor, it's highly unlikely that they'll be able to sever those lots in the future, and that's why we asked them to be merged. The standard that is in place today would not allow it, and I don't see the standard becoming smaller in the future.
Thank you very much.
Any other councillor? Mr. Brady, with respect to PDS-03, which is the extension of the draft plan approval for High Point, at one point there had been a sign up advertising sales in that plan of subdivision. Is that still up?
Yep. At one point, there was a sign that was placed on the property. We had asked them to remove it. It was removed.
Okay.
They're actually now in a position that if they asked us, they could put that sign back up. They haven't. I suspect they will be shortly. This is a very short extension. They're dotting the I's and crossing the T's. As it says in the report, the model home has already been built, and we expect this subdivision to move ahead quite quickly
right.
This spring.
And I noticed that they've been working on the temporary road that we had requested that they build from Pettit in towards the side of the parcel. At least it looks like that's what they're doing.
I'm not certain. I've seen activity out there, yes. And I suspect you're right.
With respect to the next report, PDS-04, it says that there's been some work done on this plan of subdivision since the last extension was granted. Talks about completing an engineering submission. Exactly what has been done since the last extension was granted?
To your question, Mr. Mayor, Mr. Brady's asked me to reply.
Sure.
They have made one submission of their engineering drawings for the construction of the road and drainage system. We have provided comments back to the developer that need to be for the plans to be revised. And that's the current state we're at right now.
So this is again, a one-year extension in essence. And is it anticipated that there will be some actual movement forward by then?
That is my expectation, yes, that they will be moving forward. Frankly, I don't understand why I haven't received a resubmission, so I'm not sure what's going on in the background on the engineer's side, why they haven't given me a revision yet.
Okay. And then the final question that I had relates to IS-03, and Mr. Waltz, maybe you can assist on this. I note that there's a fair bit of excess funds that were budgeted. Is it possible to expand the scope of the project to use more of the funds, or do you have some suggestions?
Mr. Mayor, we'd prefer to leave the funds as a variance right now. We look at these on a sewer shed basis, and this captures our entire scope of work for 2018 for this project. If we do need additional funds through the course of this project, if something creeps up, we'd like to have that funding available.
And otherwise, the surplus funds can be utilized for similar type work in another watershed?
In this case, if we didn't use any more money out of this account, we'd return it to, help me out here, John, but we'd return
one
it
of the
to,
reserve funds.
Yeah, and reallocate it next year.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Are there any other questions with respect to any of the reports in the consent agenda? If not, I'm going to call the question. All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That then takes us to Planning and Development Services, Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Member DeCompte. We do not have any presentations or delegations tonight. A number of reports. First, PDS 06-2018, dealing with an amendment to Comprehensive Zoning Bylaw number 129-90, a housekeeping amendment. Looking for a mover for that. Moved by Councillor Butler. Comments or questions to the housekeeping amendments? Seeing none, all those in favor? That's carried. PDS 07-2018, Zoning Bylaw Amendment for Bridgeview Townhouse Development, which is formerly the King Street Draft Plan of Subdivision at the northwest corner of King Street and Albany Street. A mover for that. Councillor Nutt, thank you. Comments or questions regarding Bridgeview? Seeing none, all in favor? That's carried. PDS 08-2018, Proposed Draft Plans of Vacant Land Condominium, The Oaks at 6 Mile Creek. Noting Councillor Butler's conflict on that, a mover. Mayor Redicott, thank you. Comments or questions to that? Mayor Redicott.
I just had a few questions, one of which related to comment made by the chief with respect to parking. And I can't recall, this came up during the public meeting, and I'm just wondering whether there's parking on each lot or is all parking going to be required to be done inside the garages of these units.
Ms. Dolch, if you could answer that, and then maybe, Chief, I'll come to you next. Ms. Dolch?
Thank you. Through you to the Mayor. There is parking available on the individual units in front of the garage. There also is visitor parking available in this site.
On the lots?
Yes, in terms of we have some parking available on site there. The fire chief, we did meet with the fire chief to talk about the parking issue along the roadways, the internal roadways, and they are going to be designated as a fire route with a no parking sign, so there will be no parking permitted along those roadways.
Chief, that satisfies your concerns?
Yes, it does.
Okay.
Mayor? Mr. Chair, on page 6, there's a reference to the owner being required to submit additional Planning Act applications. Do you know offhand what those would be?
Under Development Coordinator for Infrastructure Services.
Oh, in terms of final subdivision approval. I apologize. Oh. Yes, under it's final subdivision approval will be required and condominium approval on site.
And if I might, Mr. Chair, on page 22 of the total report, which is in Appendix 3, this is the conditions. Condition 19 deals with tree removal, grading, soil disturbance. And I found it interesting that if there's some failure on the part of the developer to enter into a site plan agreement by a certain date, the letter of credit would be cashed and used by the municipality for tree planting initiatives throughout the town. I know that's a standard provision, but what's the rationale for that? Or is that something that the planner should be responding to, Mr. Chair?
Ms. Stolz?
For you to the mayor. We put that in place a little while back, and the reason being is that if tree removal does occur on the site earlier, there was a bit of concern that subdivisions would be cleared and then would sit idle for 3-5 years while they're continuing their engineering works and things like that. That should that occur, then we have the ability to replant elsewhere in the community. Obviously, we know this long-term will develop as a subdivision or condominium, but we wanted to make sure that they're not removing the trees well in advance of development occurring. We wanted to make sure that the developers ready to move forward for final subdivision approval or final condominium approval, and that they're not just clearing the site for the sake of clearing the site.
Hence, we set the date and they're on notice.
Correct.
Interesting. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mayor. Further comments or questions? Councilor Liberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just a couple questions with the parking. When we had the public meeting, that was one of the things that was a big concern with some of the people that made their comments. And I guess the question is, did they increase the amount of parking around these row housing and condominiums? Is there more parking now than there was before?
Through you to the councillor. No, there isn't. It's the same amount of parking. There is parking provided on site for each of the residents as well as some additional. They do require one space per unit.
So there's no parking provided for guests? They're on their own?
There are visitor parking spots on the site, and it was shown in the previous plan. They're broken out into two phases, but generally we have a total of 17 visitor parking spaces.
Okay, all right. And looking at page 22 again, I'm not sure if this is a typo or what, but why would the developer have to enter into a site agreement with the developer?
Which condition? I apologize.
Which number?
19. Appendix 4, number condition 19. I'm assuming it's a typo, but it should read that the developer will enter into a site agreement with the town, I would say, with the municipality. Would that be right?
On appendix 4?
Appendix 4, number
appendix
19.
Appendix 4,
the
number
last,
19.
The last sentence, Ms. Stolz.
The last one.
So the developer must enter sentence. Into a site plan agreement with the developer.
By December 31st, 2018.
We have.
That would be like marking your own test. I don't think we do that, do we?
We'll have to modify that.
So he's got to enter into a site agreement with the municipality. I think that's the way it should read, right?
Correct.
Okay, thanks.
Anything else, Councillor Liberts? No? Okay. Seeing nothing further, all in favor? That's carried, noting Councillor Butler's conflict. Takes us to PDS 09-2018, Waverly Beach Park Ad Hoc Committee. A mover for that to get that on the floor, and then we'll go with the recommendation. Councillor Butler. So we did receive a memo under separate cover with the names of the residential appointees. We have Councillor Zanko on the committee by nature of the composition. I would like to put my name forward as well. We're looking to round out the composition with a third name for counselor, and if we have more than one that comes forward, we can put that to a vote through the clerk. Councillor Nutt?
Yes, thank you, Councillor Passero. I'd like to put my name forward as well.
Other members of council? Councillor Butler, Councillor McDermott, Councillor Luberts? No? Okay. Madam Clerk, do you have the names then of the residents?
Yes, I do. Andrew Holdsworth, Mary Cottrell, Helena Ciccone, and Kathy Denehauer.
So those would be the members of the public that would be appointed to the Waverly Beach Ad Hoc Committee. And further, the resolution would read that council appoints Councillor Nutt and Councillor Passero, in addition to Councillor Zanko, to represent it on the Waverly Beach Ad Hoc Committee. Comments or questions? Seeing none, all in favor? Oh, Mayor Redekop. And Councillor Luberts, was that a hand for a vote or a question? Okay, so Mayor Redekop and then Councillor Luberts.
So when this came forward, and I don't have the background information right in front of me, but my recollection was that there was a hope that there would be individuals with some specified areas of expertise that would be the community members. I don't know what the background is with respect to the four individuals who submitted applications, but don't believe there's anyone that has the credentials that we had hoped for. So what does that bode then for this particular committee?
Well, I think the committee has the option to go through staff to seek those resources somewhere else. I do believe that we have 4 residents being appointed with 5 spaces available. So we still have the option to secure someone. I'm comfortable with that, seeing we could have 1 meeting under our belt and see which direction we may want to go, and then maybe we might have to headhunt somebody to fill that 5th position. I'm happy with the committee having read the expressions of interest. And I do know that although they might not have any initials next to their last names, I know that some of them have done a lot of research because their names are very familiar to me on this issue, and Councillor Zanko as well.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mr. Chair. Just to follow up on the credentials for the members, the problem that I have with this whole process is I'm disappointed with council. I'm disappointed with staff, disappointed with the CAO's office, any other members of staff that were included in this process. We have an environmental advisory committee that we appointed at the beginning of this term of council. And in my opinion, our advisory committee will deal with environmental issues. Now, Councilor Nutt came forward and asked for information on invasive species at Waverly Beach from the Environmental Advisory Committee. They have a wealth of knowledge there. They have all the credentials that this council would require if they were approached anyway to look at this situation, and they weren't. I started a committee, a group of residents and a group of people that are quite qualified for getting the information that's required to mitigate some of the problems down at Waverly Beach. And my co-chair, matter of fact, with this group was approached by Councillor Zanko. And Councillor Zanko was told by her that they should look at EAC for recruiting. And I don't know that anybody from EAC was approached or asked to be recruited. And so here we are with, and I don't mean any disrespect to the people that applied. They applied, and there was an ad in the paper, and that's the way it should have been. But I just want everyone to know I'm disappointed with this whole process. I can't believe that, again, we're just slapping EAC in the face and saying, thanks for coming out. Thanks for doing all the things that you do, but we're just going to ignore you again. So those are my comments. Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Lubberts. Your disappointment is noted. Anything further? Seeing none, all in favor? Opposed? That is carried. New business or inquiries specific to planning and development services. Councillor Butler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm not sure if this is the department to ask this question, but I've been approached by several constituents with respect to snowmobiles on trails. Should that wait till infrastructure services?
Infrastructure or even corporate services, as it's a bylaw issue, but I don't think it has anything pertinent to zoning. So okay. let's hold off on that one.
Okay. Then I will wait.
Thank you. Anything further for new business or inquiries from other members of council? Seeing none. Comments or questions related to the business status report? Seeing none, I will turn the chair back to Mayor Redicom.
Thank you very much, Councillor Passero. That takes us to infrastructure services. And is that Councillor Butler? Are you on infrastructure services? Then in the absence of the chair, you get to be the chair.
Thank you. Infrastructure services is now open. We do not have any presentations or delegations, which moves us to reports. IS-01-2018, award of tender for the Ott Road Park Sport Field Lighting Replacement Contract number ISF-17-ORBL-17. Can I have a mover? Councillor Passero, thank you. That report is on the floor. Do I have any colleagues that would like to comment or ask questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That is unanimous. Next report is IS-02-2018, 2018, award of tender for Battery Street, Dufferin Street, and Murray Street sanitary sewer replacement and reconstruction, contract number ISE-17-BATT-1I17-DUF-13-MER-19. Can I have a mover for that?
Thank you.
Councillor McDermott, that report is now on the floor. Does anybody have any comments or questions? Your Worship?
I'm just wondering if we could get at the bottom of page 6, there's an explanation of where the additional funds are going to come from, and then there's a reference to the money that we're getting from CSO funding program from the region. How does that all work out to cover the variance of $127,000?
Mr. Walsh?
Thank you, Madam Chair. In essence, we are $60,000 short, so the money's coming out of reserves.
Well, that was, according to the report, we're $127,000 short, and then there's some money that's going to be coming from various reserves, which are identified in the report and in the third recommendation. And then there's a reference to the CSO funding, and I don't know, some of that coming in, some of that going out, because the numbers in the third recommendation add up to more than $127,000. That's $140,000. And then there's another sum of money from the CSO funding from the region, which adds up to another $63,000.
For you, Madam Chair, the third recommendation adds up to $130,000, and then it gets replaced with the $53,000 of the CSO funding. It's a bit of an offset, yes.
Okay, so some of it's coming in, some of it's being replenished.
That's
through
correct.
CSO funding. Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Thank you.
Any other comments or questions? Seeing none, I'll call the question. All those in favor? That is unanimous. That brings us to new business. Does anybody have any comments or questions? I do. So I do have some constituents that have been complaining about snowmobiles on trails, and I know that the Niagara Police can sometimes monitor that, but it's difficult for them. Is there anything that we can do about that, Mr. Walsh?
Madam Chair, aside from the NRP, there is not much we can do. We can ask residents to try and get license plate numbers on them, on the recreational machines, and report them to the police. But essentially, we're handcuffed at the goodwill of the residents of Fort Erie and their adherence to bylaws.
I know that in Port Colborne, on their trails, I noticed that they have a specialty entrance of bicycles, so it would prevent those kinds of machinery on the pathways. Is that something that we could consider in the future?
I believe when the trails were set up, the entrances that we have were set up to accommodate active transportation, bicycles and such. Unfortunately, when you make a 3-foot wide path for a bicycle, you also make a three-foot wide path for a motorbike or a snowmobile. So if we're going to further restrict access, it's going to make it more difficult for bicycle riders and such. So we'd prefer, because the trail's been constructed for a long time and more or less works successfully, we'd prefer to leave it as is. We realize it's an issue, but we don't think it's a big issue.
I recognize that too, and I think that whenever I go for walks or bike rides, I do see individuals in motorized wheelchairs as well that access it, so it would be a complete barrier for them if we were to. Well, so I'll let my constituents know. And then I have one final question, and I'm not sure if this is the department to ask or not, but recently we had a couple of power surges, one through Canadian Niagara Power and their poles. One was an actual fire on Garrison, but there was another power surge, excuse me, that took place and wiped out some power on Birdie Bay Road and Dominion. but it was more intrusive than that, where it started some carpet fires and wall fires because the surge was so powerful. I'm just wondering, do we have, I realize that Canadian Niagara Power is a private entity, but there should be some responsibility with respect to the fact that we're all paying to have that hydro brought in, but we're not paying to have those powerful surges wreck our homes. Is there anything that we can do to have a conversation with Canadian Niagara Power with respect to that? Because the constituents are not getting anywhere and they're looking at a class action suit.
Madam Chair, I'd look to the table for guidance on this. As you note, CNP is a private entity responsible for power distribution throughout Fort Erie, Paul Colborne, and a couple other areas. Other than some contact information I could give you, that's as far as I could take it.
Worship?
Yeah, why don't we refer that to Mr. Lustig, the town's lawyer? He may have some suggestions with respect to this. It's definitely a civil matter, but as you say, this is a service that's provided to throughout the town, and any one of us could be subject to a power surge. So that would be my suggestion. Since I've got the floor, can I just follow up? With respect to the snowmobiles on the recreation trails, I think that's something that we could maybe do a little bit more advertising on, perhaps on our website and on Facebook, just to remind people that motorized vehicles are not allowed on the recreation trail or in our parks. Sometimes people with cars forget that they're not supposed to be driving through our parks, and I've seen on the parkway, in some of the local parks, I have no idea what's going on in the minds of the people that are operating those vehicles, but it's certainly not very impressive, and maybe they don't read or don't read the website or Facebook, but I think there's something we can do on that, and it's just really discourteous.
Thank you, Your Worship. Any other, Councillor Pissarro?
Thank you, Madam Chair. You jogged my memory when you brought up CNP, and I'm hoping through you to Mr. Walsh, maybe a different scenario with the item I'd like to discuss, but I have had a couple of residents contact me regarding the length of time that it takes between a new hydro pole going in and the old ones being removed once they've already been stripped of the other services. We have some going on 2 to 3 years now where there are old poles right next to the brand new ones, and I'm wondering if we have any leeway there considering that that is municipal right-of-way property.
Mr. Walsh?
In this case, through you, Madam Chair, in this case, I could just send them an email to look into it. They may have forgotten about it. Is there any locations in particular that you could bring up? And I notice Mr. Cook waving his hand on the far side there.
Through your chair, just real quickly, I know in the past we've had this issue, and we've reached out to them about removing their old poles. And the issue is, as much as they install the new poles and they transfer their lines over, Cogeco and Bell are not as quick to move their lines to the new poles. So a lot of times, and it has taken a couple of years to get those other utilities to relocate over to the new poles. So as much as we pressure them, and I know CMP is pressuring the utilities, it's difficult to do that. So we have a coordinating person here at town that deals with utilities. We will put it on his radar to bring it up at the next meeting.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, yes. I have a couple that I'll forward, I guess, to Mr. Walsh, but the poles have been, you know, the term is they've been naked for quite some time. They've been denuded. Something new for my lexicon. I'm going to try to work that into breakfast tomorrow. So I will forward those through you to Mr. Walsh and see if we can get some action on that, some action on the denuding. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Councillor Pissarro. Any other inquiries for the evening? No? Then are there any questions on the business status report? Seeing none, I turn the chair back over to you, Your Worship.
Thank you very much, Councillor Butler. That takes us to Corporate and Community Services. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Corporate and Community Services is now open tonight. We do not have any presentations or delegations. We're dealing with one report tonight, CAO-01-2018. This is to address newspapers in the driveways. Councillor McDermott, you've moved it. Okay, that report is on the floor. Comments or questions? Your Worship.
Mr. Chair, it came to our attention earlier today that this report didn't get to the one newspaper that we now have left in town until today. We've had some communication from a representative from Niagara this week requesting an opportunity to address council, which I happen to think is probably fair. I know that there's a lot of frustration with respect to this continuing problem of newspapers being thrown in from moving vehicles into driveways and clogging catch basins, damaging snowblowers and what have you. But I'd like to move that this be deferred for 1 week to give the newspaper representative an opportunity to further address council and for us to get some further information and pass on some of our own views with respect to what's been going on for the past year. So I move that we defer it for 1 week.
Thank you, Your Worship. I know that Councillor Zenko would also like the opportunity to speak to it, so I think that's appropriate. Since you've moved that, we'll immediately move to voting on that. All those in favor of deferring for 1 week? None opposed? That carries. There are no other reports, so we'll move on to 10.3, new business or inquiries. Councillor McDermott.
Yes, Mr. Chair. I've had some numerous complaints this week with regards to an old problem that we faced earlier in the term with regards to being a town, a one-cab town. So I've had a lot of conversations on social media this week about the disappointment of the people that they're unable to get a cab when they need it the most without having to wait for a long period of time, or just not, the cab's not coming at all. So I'd like to ask Mr. Cook if maybe he could reach out to, you know, Regional Councillor Gale of the Police Services Board to see if they plan any further process with regards to this sort of thing. This cab company holds all the licenses. They are a monopoly, and there is no way, unless they're willing to sell a license to somebody in town, that will make sure that people can get a cab. And the last time we visited this, I had spoken to the police board. I believe the mayor had an opportunity to speak with the owner of the company, who was basically telling us that it was going to get better. However, I don't see it, and I'm not hearing it. And in most cases, we're dealing with young or middle-aged women who are work late and trying to get home. And there's a great deal of angst out there because there are people scared to wander about. I don't blame them. They should be able to get a cab. This company holds a license, and they hold the monopoly. You got to wonder why they're ignoring the people for you when they're calling. So I would like Mr. Cook to see if he could do that. And if we can't get a good answer, I guess I'll have to bring forward a notice of motion next meeting.
Thank you, Councillor McDermott. Mr. Cookett.
Through you, Chair, to Councillor Luberts. Yes, you're absolutely right. We met with the police board probably a year and a half ago, yourself, the mayor, myself, and with the individual with the works for the police board who issues the license, and they promised that they would correct the issue. Now, I hadn't heard anything for a long time. Back then, we did write a letter to Bob Gale, asked him to address this issue, and there was some promises that it would be corrected. So, like I say, I wasn't aware that it's an issue again, but I'm more than willing to reach out and see how we can correct this.
Thank you very much, Mr. Cookett. I think it's extremely important that we move on this quickly, considering the temperatures at night getting down into the minus 20s area, and we can't have people standing out there for 30 minutes with no cabs coming. Certainly isn't appropriate. Are there any other new business inquiries or items? Seeing none, I'll move on to the business status report. Any comments or questions regarding the business status report? Seeing none, I'll close corporate and community services and turn the chair back to His Worship.
Thank you, Councillor Nutt. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. Are there any meetings that anyone wishes to announce? Then we have a closed session matter. Could I have a motion that we move into closed session to deal with an identifiable individual, including municipal or local board employees? Councillor Butler, any questions or comments on that? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Okay, we're out of closed session now. Can we have a motion to rise and reconvene from closed session at 7:11 p.m. with the report for staff to proceed in accordance with the recommendation of the Manager of Employment Services. Councilor Becerra, are there any questions or comments with respect to the resolution? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councilor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. The Town of Fort Erie Council and Committee meeting hereby adjourns at 7:12 p.m.
Thank you. Any questions or comments? All those in favor? That is carried unanimously. Thank you, folks.